Okay, good afternoon. My name is Adelia Huang. I'm a hearings officer. This is case number 318-0007 regarding an appeal of a Parks and Recreation exclusion. The appellant is Stephen Kimes. Is Mr. Stephen Kimes here? No one has identified themselves as Mr. Kimes or as a representative on his behalf. The time is 2:15 in the afternoon on February 27th, 2018. This is the time and date scheduled for this proceeding. I am taking a look at the file to see if any notice was provided to Mr. Kimes. It looks like what's been marked as Exhibit 6 is a notice of a hearing. It indicates it was mailed out on February 1st, 2018 and accurately states today's time, location, and date of the hearing. It does look like this was mailed out to the address that was provided by Mr. Kimes at the time he requested an appeal hearing. I am going to ask the hearings clerk if Mr. Kimes has had any contact with the hearings office.
We have had no contact.
Thank you. It also does appear that this notice of hearing has not been returned by the Postal Service as undeliverable, so I'm going to find that adequate notice of today's hearing has been provided to Mr. Kimes. And at this time, I notice that there is a representative here on behalf of the city. Please identify yourself, spelling your first and last name, and letting me know who you work for.
Good afternoon. Dustin Meyer, D-U-S-T-I-N-M-E-Y-E-R.
And your title?
Park Ranger.
Okay. Were you the park ranger that issued the exclusion, which is the subject of the appeal? It's dated January 31st?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Great. So before I get to taking your testimony, I am going to figure out which documents to admit into the record. I am of the belief that exhibits 1 through and including 8 are relevant, and we'll go ahead and admit them into the record. So one thing that I will note before I take your testimony is that your testimony will be an opportunity for you to explain why Mr. Kimes's argument is should not be found as a good argument or something that I should find as a basis for invalidating the exclusion. And he said in Exhibit 1, which was his appeal hearing request form, that he did not disobey a park ranger. So if you can address that when you provide your testimony, I'd greatly appreciate it, because it looks like that's the one allegation as for the reason why the exclusion was issued. Please raise your right hand and I will place you under oath. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give shall be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ranger Meyer.
On January 31st at about 12:36, in Big Four Corners, I issued Mr. Kimes Stephen a 30-day park exclusion for failure to obey, which is code 2012-240. The reason I issued Mr. Kimes the 30-day park exclusion is the day before, on January 30th, at I believe 6 p.m. in the same location of Big Four Corners, Mr. Kimes was issued a park warning for failure to obey. I then, with the following day, we issued the exclusion, given that a warning was given to Mr. Kimes the evening before, which would have given adequate time to comply with a request from park rangers.
Okay. Anything further?
No, ma'am.
And I'm just looking here at a copy of the warning that was issued. I do see that it was dated January 30th. Were you the park ranger that issued the warning?
No, I was not.
Okay. Let me just take a look here at the documentation that was submitted by the city to see if I have any questions. And can you tell me, is Big Four Corners a park, or what type of facility or area is that considered under city code for enforcement purposes?
Under city code, it is a property known as a natural area. There are no trails, manicured access to the park, or natural area, excuse me. It is covered by park rangers and East Lands Maintenance Division to maintain the upkeep and integrity of the natural area.
Okay. So one thing that I do want to clarify is that on the exclusion marked Exhibit 3, it looks like the statement here is that Kimes was adhering to requests by park rangers. Can you explain the discrepancy between what was stated on the exclusion and your testimony today?
That was a grammatical error on my part. I noticed it when I was reviewing the information before the hearing today. I did forget to write not adhering, as he, at the time on the back of the exhibit, I do point out that he was not complying with the warning.
So what exhibit are you referring to?
The exclusion, I believe you said Exhibit 3.
Oh, okay. It looks like my Exhibit 3 looks a little bit different. This is the one that was a copy that Mr. Kimes provided, but I do see what you're just talking about in the copies of exhibits that was sent by your office.
On the back of the exclusion in the summary narrative that I prepared, I did write, for failure to obey, for not leaving the park. So I was talking to him about not adhering to the original warning. I just did not write it correctly on my one sentence summary. And when I noticed that it was past the deadline to submit a new form.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you for clarifying. Okay, is there anything else that I need to consider before I issue a decision?
One second, please. No, ma'am.
Okay, and just to clarify, Mr. Kimes, after he had been warned, was also in the exact same area, the same park, not park, but natural area, as when he had received his warning that he needed to leave.
Yes, ma'am. It was the location of the Village of Hope, the homeless campsite. That's where he was contacted that evening before, and as well as when I issued the exclusion. I guess also to note on the record that Mr. Kimes was warned verbally and explained the procedures that we as park rangers, when it comes to our enforcement of park codes, explaining what can happen if failure to comply with a reasonable request by park rangers earlier in the week.
And so the underlying violation and the order that was given by park rangers was to leave Big Four property, correct?
Yes.
What was that based on? Is that a city code violation to be there, just simply being there, or?
Actually, the design of the park itself is not a park. It is a natural area designed specifically for the rehabilitation and vegetation, or rehabilitation of animals and vegetation. We do have a lot of ground nesting birds and other life
wildlife?
Organism, yes. In the park that is actually being currently studied by the state and federal level. That area, again, has no maintained or manicured trail access, which then forth it is considered closed to the public, only authorized personnel, which we as park rangers or city employees have the access and capabilities to enter upon that location.
And are there any signs which state that, or is there a certain code provision which
the following day's signs were put in, but as a ranger with a badge displayed in my uniform, I'm able to provide that information, or we as rangers are able to provide that information as part of our job as being park ambassadors.
Okay. So the reason why I'm asking these questions is I need to make sure that the warning and exclusion are tied to a reasonable direction from a park officer, which can be a direction to desist from a city code violation. And so I don't recall that there is a city code violation that specifically says you can't be in Big Four natural area or something similar. So there are other provisions which says that a reasonable direction relates to the protection of health, welfare, or safety of people in the park, or prevention of damage to property, or if the telling that person to stop doing something is necessary to protect the peace, etc. So is there anything else that you want to tell me about that?
In relation to this, I do not have anything else to add. Just going back to reemphasize the, since the natural area does not have any maintained or manicured trails, it is given the assumption that it is no admittance. There were signs put in the following day by park rangers and East Lands Maintenance Division for Parks and Rec. However, there was none at the time, so we, as park rangers, were able to provide information to Mr. Kimes.
Okay. Based upon the information that I've heard from you and the evidence in the record, I am going to find that there is substantial evidence in the record to demonstrate that the exclusion issued on January 31st, 2018 is valid and was properly based upon relevant laws, rules, and facts. As far as the direction that was given, which was not obeyed, which was the basis of the exclusion, I do think that there is substantial evidence in the record to demonstrate that your testimony today, based upon the description of the natural area, that the original warning was reasonable based upon a need to reasonably protect the peace or prevent disruption of the natural area based upon how you described it as being rehabilitated. So, and the fact that people aren't supposed to be there aren't any trails, etc. And so I am finding that the exclusion is valid. It looks like the exclusion was being issued on January 31st, and the hearing having been requested by Mr. Kimes on February 1st, he has served, or one day has passed, elapsed in the duration of the exclusion. And so I am going to impose or require that 29 additional days be left on the exclusion, and my order, which will be mailed out, will state clearly what the start date of that period is and when the 29th day will be. Do you have any questions?
No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much for taking the time to be here. The hearing is now closed.
Thank you.